Okay, hello friends. We are involved now in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 72. And we are working in the sign Sagittarius. And we have finished, we were just about to begin page 176. And we were talking about the difference between the centaur and the rider on the white horse, the centaur being a very early form of the Sagittarian symbolism, and taking us back into Atlantean days when horse symbolism was naturally prominent because the horse symbolizes the emotional body. And this was a very emotional, sentient, astral civilization, strongly conditioned by the sixth ray, with the horse as the major, well, I can't call it major, I will say a major sixth ray animal, with the dog as well being a sixth ray animal in combination with the second ray. So we talked about ambition found both in the centaur and also in the goat. But if anything, the ambition that we have in the centaur is more emotionally prompted, more impulsive. And the ambition in the goat, in the still not spiritualized Capricorn individual, is more mental, more calculating. So it's the archer on the white horse, the white horse being very important symbolism eventually for a savior, the saving force, the Kalki avatar, of which the Christ is an example. The keynote of the archer is aspiration and direction. You can't really have direction unless you have mentality, because the emotions are changing so frequently that they will destroy the sense of direction, because one will follow promptings and impulses. And both are expressions of human goals, but one is of the personality, that is the centaur's ambition, more emotionally prompted, and the other of the soul. Well, you can also have the archer on the horse, let us say, following the promptings of the personality in a more directed manner, but eventually the horse becomes white as the personality elementals are spiritualized, and before long we will have soul direction operational. So that takes us just about to page 176. From ambition to aspiration, from selfishness to an intense desire for selflessness. That is not quite the same as selflessness per se, but there's an intense desire, and I think we can think of Sagittarius in relation to intense desire. It is the sign which rules the lunar lords. It has a very strong Martian component, because that hierarchy of lunar lords is ruled by Mars, hence the intense desire. We saw when comparing Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius that Sagittarius often ruled a kind of a transitional stage between the personality centralization and centralization of consciousness within the group. So from ambition to aspiration, from the centaur to the rider, from selfishness, of which the centaur is emblematic, to an intense desire for selflessness, because one sees that as a vision, as a goal. The vision and goal are always connected with Sagittarius, so one desires the vision which is presented to the consciousness. From individual one-pointed self-interest in Leo, we can have one-pointedness, can't we? Even in Leo, but it's very self-absorbed, to the one-pointedness of the disciple in Sagittarius, and thence to initiation in Capricorn. DK is always giving us progressions, how we move from stage to stage using the characteristics of the different signs. So from Leo to Sagittarius to Capricorn to Aquarius, we have to learn how to move from sign to sign and what such movement means. So let's just put that down. We must learn to move from sign to sign and learn what such movement means. It is interesting to note that the astrological symbol for this sign currently used is simply the arrow with a fragment of the bow depicted. This gives us the evolution of humanity's response to this sign. The archer as well as the centaur have dropped out of the picture. So even the personality and even the relatively purified personality and the power of the soul in incarnation as the archer has dropped out of the picture, and it's much more internalized. And this is largely because, says DK, the emphasis or focus of human living today is not based upon the objective outer facts of life upon the physical plane, which the centaur would certainly desire, and the rider on the horse to a degree, but upon some form of inner focus. Okay, so our attention now, today, is on some form of inner focus or emphasis, which varies from the many stages of astral and emotional ambition to spiritual aspiration, and from the activities of the lower mind bent upon selfish interest, which also the focused Sagittarian can have, although, let's say, the Capricornian individual is colder about it and less emotional, more calculating and maybe more effective. From the activities of the lower mind bent upon selfish interest to the illumination of the same mind through focus upon the soul. He's telling us that through Sagittarius, illumination can come. Through Sag, illumination can come. When we look at the stages of meditation, Leo concentration, Virgo meditation, Libra contemplation, Scorpio illumination, Sagittarius inspiration. But still, inspiration and illumination are quite close to each other. So these are important ideas. Two symbols have dropped away, and we're left with a very abbreviated symbol indicating an internal state, which may be emotional, it may be mental, it may be selfish, it may be less selfish, but it is a psychological state. So let's just say that two symbols have dropped away, and we are left with a symbol indicating a psychological condition, all the way from emotional to mental, from selfish to unselfish, but still an internal condition. The focus is not upon the outer plane. The focus of man today is not really in the world of the senses. I think we have a recrudescence at the moment of focus in the world of the senses, but that's only apparently so, because this focus in the senses is really for the purpose of inner gratification, either the gratification of emotional desire or the gratification of ego needs, lower ego needs. We seem to be passing through a materialistic time, but this is just about to end with Saturn becoming stronger in Aquarius and thus taking from people the excesses with which they have been able to indulge themselves. There will be whole issues about fairness of distribution as Libra is becoming stronger, and the glut and the dearth will be relinquished. The glut that is characteristic of some nations and some people centering within themselves far too many resources, and the dearth, the absence of the poverty, this will also end with the restoration slowly of the divine circulatory flow, which Saturn in Aquarius is supposed to promote through that growing sense of soul responsibility. Of course, it also promotes blockages as well. You know, sometimes people with Saturn and Aquarius, they have heart difficulties or circulatory difficulties, the outer symbol of the problem of the circulation of energy. In any case, an ancient catechism, which all disciples have to master, even us, I suppose, asks the following questions and supplies the needed answers. The Lanu, we know, is the Chela, the student of the master, the dedicated student of the master. Where is the animal, O Lanu, and where the man? See, this is relating to the idea that the animal is dropping away, and the man on the white horse, or the horse, is succeeding that earlier symbol. Fused into one, O master of my life, the two are one. But both have disappeared, and naught remains but the deep fire of my desire, which perhaps the arrow and the fragment of the bow can symbolize. The arrow and the fragment of the bow symbolizing the deep fire of desire. Sagittarius, the most prominent sixth ray sign at this time, has a certain intensity to it, an intense focus on the sixth ray under Mars, the deep fire. Where is the horse, the white horse of the soul? Where is the rider of that horse, O Lanu? So now we're talking about a later stage. The white horse is the symbol of the soul-purified personality. The rider is now the disciple, not just the ambitious personality, directing things according to intent, but rather the soul-infused personality, the increasingly soul-directed personality. Gone towards the gate, O master of my life, the gate being perhaps the gate of Capricorn, which will open the door to initiation. But something speeds ahead between the pillars of an open door, something that I myself have loosed. Now we're talking about the arrow, aren't we? The arrow has been released from the bow. What is the significance of this arrow? Something that precedes. There is an anticipatory quality in Sagittarius, an anticipatory quality. The arrow, which flies ahead of the experiencer. Okay. And what remains to thee, O wise Lanu, the wisdom of Sagittarius of Jupiter, is dawning now, now that the horses of two kinds, the centaur and even the white horse, have left thee, and the rider, unattached, stands free, detached, that is, from the animal nature, even from the purified animal nature. Now what remains? The idea here is that consciousness can be projected far beyond the personality nature, and is no longer bound to the personality or even the purified personality. Not but my bow and arrow, O master of my life, but they suffice. And when the right time comes, I, thy Lanu, will follow fast upon the shaft I have sent. So there's this anticipatory shooting of the arrow, and the following of the shooting of the arrow of aspiration. The man follows that which he projects from himself. Now here we have kind of a horizontal imagery of shooting towards the gate. And it reminds me a little bit of something we might consider about mountain climbing in Capricorn. Well, at least I've noticed this among mountain climbers. I'm not saying I am one. I'm not. But they throw, is it piton? They throw this hook that's attached to a cord. They throw it high, and then they anchor themselves. They anchor that hook, and then they pull themselves up on it. So that's the vertical ascent. But in both cases, we have something shot ahead, thrown ahead, anticipating the actual arrival of the individual. A part of himself goes ahead and anchors in a still unknown place, and then he follows. Or in Capricorn, he pulls himself up. Okay, I, thy Lanu, will follow fast upon the shaft I sent. The horses I will leave upon this side of the door, because they are the horses of personality. This side of the door, the gate, door of initiation, you do not take the personality through the gate of initiation. That must be clear. One does not take the personality through the gate of initiation. And for them I have no further need. It used to be that that was the way of advancing through horsepower, through the power of the highly motivated emotional nature, which speeds a person forward. But the arrow is much faster, of course, and Sagittarius is namely a sign of gathering speed, increasingly gathering speed. The horses I will leave upon this side of the door. For them I have no further need. I enter free. Free of the personality and nature. Regain the arrow which I sent, and speed upon my way, passing from door to door, i.e. from initiation to initiation, and each time the arrow speeds ahead. Certainly the first two initiations, and then towards the third. And I'm reminded a little bit of the sort of capturing of the doe, you know, in the labor of Hercules, the Cancer labor of Hercules. Always the doe is pursued, and Hercules catches the doe and clasps it to him and thinks it is now his that he possesses, and yet there it appears once again. He hasn't caught it after all. This is always the intuition revealing ever more of the truth of God, and no one grasping a certain intuition can say that intuition has served its function, and now that which is revealed is all there is to be revealed. This is not the case. So there is a kind of a connection here between Cancer, in a way ruled by the moon, and Sagittarius ruled by the lunar lords, and the moon indicating consciousness. So the arrow speeds ahead, and he regains the arrow. And his aspiration has become intuition, or at least when he reaches the point that the arrow has itself reached, he is endowed with a new realization, and he will always have his eyes upon the future, two very futuristic signs, Sagittarius and Aquarius, and not to eliminate Capricorn either from the idea of futurism and planning for the future. So I regain the arrow which I sent, and speed upon my way. Even in real life or actual life, the pedal to the metal, and the Sagittarian speeder always going beyond the speed limit, the heavy foot, these are well known, passing from door to door each time the arrow speeds ahead. So we are able to project an aspect of ourselves which we follow into an unknown territory, and thereby by following, gain a greater illumination. All right, so that's, of course, I've interrupted that quite a bit, you know, so why not just read it without my interruptions? Where is the animal, O Lanu, and where the man? Fused into one, O master of my life, the two are one, but both have disappeared, and naught remains but the deep fire of my desire. Where is the horse, the white horse of the soul? Where is the rider of that horse, O Lanu? Gone towards the gate, O master of my life, but something speeds ahead between the pillars of an open door, something that I myself have loosed. And what remains to thee, O wise Lanu, now that the doors of two kinds have left thee, and the rider, unattached, stands free? O wise Lanu, now that the horses of two kinds have left thee, and the rider, unattached, stands free. Now what remains? Naught but my bow and arrow, O master of my life, but they suffice. And when the right time comes, I, thy Lanu, will follow fast upon the shaft I sent. The horses I will leave upon this side of the door. For them I have no further need. I enter free, regain the arrow which I sent, and speed upon my way, passing from door to door, and each time the arrow speeds ahead. Well, Sagittarius can certainly be connected with the first and second initiation, as we will learn in studying this chapter. As I've said, when you have Sag and Capricorn prominent in the chart, and have reached that point of evolution, it's a good indication that one can move from the second degree to the third. Excuse me. Maybe it's not so much found in the some of the higher initiations, but when I think about the sixth initiation, when a person, a monad really, is outward bound towards some greater destination on one of the paths of the way of higher evolution, then Sagittarius again could be very prominent, setting one's sights upon a goal through the great decision. Okay. It is for this reason that the keynotes of Sagittarius are 5 in number. DK told us to study the keynotes, as we would be much rewarded by following his system of 9 or 10 preliminary questions. When we did esoteric astrology classes, we always began with the study of those several areas which DK recommended. But we're not doing that now more. We are going through the book in the order given. There's so many ways to study this book, but one must, when doing this in class, I think, follow DK's method of looking first for keynotes and mantrams and rulers and so forth, all the many points that he's laid out carefully somewhere, I think, in the Pisces chapter when advising how to move ahead. Maybe the Aries chapter, one of those two. Okay, so, keynotes. Attached or fused duality. The centaur. Now, these keynotes, you know, it seems that they are sort of keynotes, are historical in nature, involving the evolutionary progression of man. Okay. That word is supposed to be evolutionary. And I do have a formula for it. It seems that I've forgotten it. Using these autocorrect mechanisms, you can write faster, but they sometimes interfere. So attached or fused duality, the centaur. Then we progress to the unattached duality, the archer, in which the disciple in incarnation, who is the soul in incarnation, can realize himself as such and be the master and director of the vehicle which the horse represents. I think in the old days, probably when people had dreams and they were thinking of their personality particularly, the horse was the symbol not only of the astral body but of their entire vehicle. After all, the horse was for them the vehicle of locomotion. Now, when people are having dreams about their lower ego, it's often the automobile which is the symbol, it's the means of conveyance. If you dream about a tractor, if you dream about a tractor, a big moving truck, a racing car, you know, these all have different connotations for the state of your vehicle, of your lower vehicle. And then finally, freedom or one-pointedness, the bow and arrow. So the keynotes here involve the symbolism. Here we have the first keynote dealing with the symbolism, Sagittarian symbolism. Next keynote, human ambition leading eventually to spiritual aspiration. Well, okay, and even selfish aspiration, selfish and spiritual ambition. So maybe there's a third stage, a middle stage in there, but this has to do with orientation. I mean, what really is ambition? With ambition, the lower ego is always prominent in the consciousness, and the means of somehow advancing the lower ego is the theme of ambition. The means of advancing the lower ego or sense of self is the theme of ambition. So human ambition, though these two are very ambitious signs, Sagittarius and Capricorn, taken together, but once the ego is somewhat compromised and one begins to have a sense of the higher ego, and not just as a distant object, but to begin to identify as that higher ego, then we have more the stage of spiritual aspiration. So everything depends. Whether we are dealing with ambition or aspiration depends on, it all depends, divine purpose, depends on the sense of self. According to how we conceive ourselves, so we will direct ourselves forward, And what is the self that is being directed forward, the inclusive soul self, or the rather exclusive lower self, the lower ego, apparently separated from others and able to advance at the expense of others, whereas the soul, we know, the soul cannot advance at the expense of others. Okay, moving on here. The third keynote, a clear shaft of light, which is the intuitive and focused attitude of the pledged disciple. It's as if the pledged disciple conducts himself in a state where that shaft of light is always extended, seeking for intuitive impression. I'm sure this is backed by a very strong sense of spiritual aspiration, but the aspiration now is secondary and the shaft of light has been created, and you might even think of this as indicating a completed antikarana, or at least a useful one. A completed or useful antikarana. A clear shaft of light. It's beyond illusion. It's not murky. It's not contaminated with all kinds of forms. Not contaminated with many forms, but open to possibilities. So, in a way, the Sagittarian individual is scanning the distant horizon, whether horizontally or vertically, trying to see what he can see. The Ajna Center is involved here. You can see here a kind of anticipation of the horn of the unicorn, which, in the case of the initiate in Capricorn, is also a weapon. Now, this is not the case for the Sagittarian, although, if you think about it, in war, in the old types of war, and even now in terms of artillery and rockets and drones and all these kind of things, Sagittarius is very definitely involved. The targeting of objectives in war, the whole idea of sending forth a projectile is very Sagittarian. Artillery, you know, the fifth ray plus Sagittarius, we're told by the Tibetan, when artillery is involved in warfare, we're often involving the fifth ray, one of the rays being transmitted through Sagittarius. But still, the horn of the unicorn is far more powerful and more occult. But already you can begin to see, you know, from a sense of sight, you're able to direct energy along that sense of sight and send a projectile forth. Still, the horn of the unicorn is still more occultly powerful. We don't see the Sagittarian horse yet with that horn. The horse symbolism is there. It's kind of interesting, though. You know, think about it. Here's the horse symbolism in Sagittarius. Okay. Then we have in Capricorn the horse with a horn. Okay. This is the fighting and triumphant creature, the unicorn. And it's a white horse with a horn. And when we get into Aquarius, one of the decanates gives us Pegasus. That fighting and triumphant creature, the unicorn, is not just standing on top of the mountain. He has taken off. He can fly. Does he preserve his horn? I think so, in a way. Although there is perhaps not a very aggressive attitude in the Aquarian, although it is associated with atomic energy, and in a way the tremendous release of the power of the atom from the lowest of the creative hierarchies has a lot to do with Aquarius, so we cannot think that it is a harmless sign. So much of the early part of Aquarius has been quite devastating, as DK has talked to us about the communistic movement and the fascist movement. It has much of the leveling effect of Aquarius denying the individual and using great weaponry to do so. But we are not seeing, at least, the horn anymore. Unless, of course, we preserve it in Pegasus. All right, so a clear shaft of light, which is the intuitive and focused attitude of the pledged disciple. Now, pledged disciple, what is that? Pledged disciple is certainly a disciple and is along the way to becoming the accepted disciple. So the true pledged disciple we can expect. Let's see. We don't want that. The true pledged disciple is at least an initiate of the first degree. And somewhere midway between, or maybe closer to the second degree, the possibility of becoming the accepted disciple is there. But once you're an accepted disciple, it does not mean you're no longer a pledged disciple. DK talks about this, pledged and accepted disciples, or the accepted disciple who has made his pledge and is keeping it, he retains still the earlier state of the pledged disciple. Okay, so that's the third keynote, and unfortunately, sometimes my numbering gets a little off here. That should be a three. Anyway. And whoop, somehow that just doesn't want to, I'll do my best here. Try to keep the ordering correct anyway. All right, that's not bad. Nope, when I lost that, there we go. All right, now, the next four. The returning arrow of the intuition. All right, this is another keynote. Not just the clear shaft of light, which is an invocative attitude, a sending forth of a kind of demand, a searchlight, which is based on aspiration and which is scanning the vertical or horizontal horizon for impression. And now we have the returning arrow of the intuition, as it is sometimes called. For it is the shaft of the arrow of aspiration which returns to the sender of the arrow, as the arrow of intuition. That's a very important statement, kind of describing Sagittarian dynamics. The arrow of aspiration returns as the arrow of intuition. The arrow of aspiration returns as the arrow of intuition. I suppose when we are invoking, an evocation comes, when we are demanding through intense focus the answer to a certain question, the answer to the question returns. You can see how the scientist can use Sagittarius intuitively, using the fifth ray as well, coming through Sagittarius, to demand the answers to problems, to hold the focused attitude and be ready to accept that which his aspiration to know has produced. Excuse me. Sagittarius is one of the intuitive signs, for only the intuition will suffice to carry a man to the foot of the mountain of initiation in Capricorn. Well, I suppose there are some signs that are more known as more intuitive than others. Pisces is another. Aquarius is another. Jupiterian signs. Jupiterian signs are intuitive, but not alone. Gemini is another. Gemini has much to do with the cultivation of the intuition. Well, of course, intuition, the ability to use the intuition indicates a certain stage of evolution, doesn't it? So all people in all signs can be intuitive, but there are certain signs which tend to be more spontaneously intuitive than others. If we get a sign into which a great deal of reasoning is demonstrated, reasoning is a kind of process which precedes the pure reason of intuition. So it all depends how Mercury is being used. Mercury can be used very concretely, or it can be used intuitively. Let's just say that Mercury is in detriment in Sagittarius, and we might think, well, then what about the use of the mind in Sagittarius? And yet it can be a very powerful abstract mind, an intuitive mind, whereas the ordinary sequential, careful reasoning processes tend not to be the favorite of the Sagittarian, because he likes to take greater jumps, greater leaps. In the concrete way this worked out, I had a friend, a very good theorist, a lot of Capricorn and Sagittarius, and when he was young he was in athletics, and his event was the hop, skip, and a jump. Hop, skip, and a jump. And I forget, did he have Mercury in Sagittarius. I'll have to look that up. But he certainly had prominent Sagittarius. So the idea of jumping to a conclusion is a typically Sagittarian thing, and reasoning one's way carefully to the conclusion suggests more the Earth signs, you know, Mercury in Virgo or Mercury in Capricorn or in Taurus. Again, not to say that intuition cannot come. Of course it can. It has to do with the stage of unfoldment in which our inner mechanism finds itself. But there are certain qualities, tendencies of the signs which promote that leaping process, and others which are more careful, sequential, and linked from one stage to the next. All right, so that was the fourth, the arrow of aspiration returning as the arrow of the intuition. And finally, idealism, which is the power to see the vision and to direct one's course towards it. Great definition of idealism, isn't it? The ray of the devotion and idealism, the sixth ray. This is the work of Mars, bringing the sixth ray, he says, the expression of the sixth ray. And remember, of course, that at least in this world period, whatever the term world period means, Sagittarius is the foremost sixth ray sign. Okay, so what do we have just in summation? We have the historical approach to duality, whether fused, unattached, or finally completely free. We have ambition and aspiration, number two. We have that clear shaft of light, the intuitive shaft. We have the returning arrow of the intuition, returning of the arrow of aspiration as intuition, and we have idealism, which is the power to see the vision and to direct one's course towards it. I think, you know, seeing the bullseye, the Ajna Center is very much involved here. When I think of Sagittarians, I think of a strongly developed Ajna Center. Obviously, this is the developed Sagittarian, who is at least an integrated personality and can see ahead. I'm not talking so much about the Sagittarian who is more impulsed from the solar plexus. How the signs are used has everything to do with the condition of the chakra center, which has everything to do with the stage of evolution in which an individual finds himself. So somehow we as esoteric astrologers in the making have to become very good at assessing the stage of evolution of another, only approximately so, as we cannot really know the full soul yet. We are not masters of the wisdom, but at least some sense of what that next step is. What is the immediate need of the individual? That immediate need is one of the great psychic powers, sensing the immediate need. He says you wouldn't think it is one of the great psychic powers, and yet it is, to sense the immediate need. Okay, so now we have the five keynotes of Sagittarius. Do we remember the others that we've passed through? Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. A study of the charts of the human family at all the different stages of the human family, okay, not just of human individuals, but of the, in general, of the human family, from the time of the mutable cross experience, wherein the personality is built up. That's the building of the Temple of Solomon. Slow building, mutable cross experience. Good way of describing it. The building process is at work, and the egoic lotus is not yet fully constructed, but the personality is built up, constructed, developed, and integrated on the mutable cross, is, let's just say, personally integrated, not yet spiritually integrated, to the final crucifixion of the personality upon the fixed cross of the heavens. And note that crucifixion, in a way, is, interestingly, it's not occurring on the cardinal cross. Okay, not occurring on the cardinal cross. So therefore, you know, DK seems to be implying that the fourth initiation is occurring on the fixed cross, but other places he's very definite about the idea that after the third initiation, one dismounts the fixed cross in order to take the fourth initiation on no cross, neither one of them. But, you know, sometimes he speaks with greater precision than in others. Sometimes he speaks generally. Sometimes he speaks with real specificity. So a study of the charts of the human family at all the different stages, from the time of the mutable cross experience wherein the personality is built up, constructed, developed, and integrated. Now, let's really think carefully. That is the mutable cross. And when people are on the mutable cross, they are the what Robert Browning calls the half-formed creatures. He was an initiate and very nearly a master, perhaps, and maybe now is a master, so occult rumor has it. Anyway, he had this poem talking about how certain great beings could stand serene as they looked around at the half-formed creatures. I wonder if I can, you know, actually, Alice Bailey has that somewhere. Half-formed. Half-formed creatures. Yes, there we go. It's from the poem Saul. Saul, I think. Yes, look at this. Here we are. This is from The Consciousness of the Atom, and she's quoted it often, and it's very important. Somehow, as we think of ourselves and our degree of completion, for men begin to pass their nature's bound and find new hopes and cares which fast supplant their proper joys and griefs. They grow too great for narrow creeds of right and wrong which fade before the unmeasured thirst for good, while peace rises within them ever more and more. Such men are even now upon the earth, serene, amid the half-formed creatures round, serene amid the half-formed creatures round, who should be saved by them and joined with them. That is totally a hierarchical statement. One who really understood that the spiritual hierarchy existed, one who understood reincarnation and the manner in which the hierarchy has been saving humanity, the method. So this is a marvelous poem. And is this the poem Saul? I'm not sure. From Bethlehem to Calvary, she quotes it again. She loves that, you know, and you can understand why. And here it seems to be a longer quote. These well-known lines. And she quotes it again in The Soul and Its Mechanism. So you can tell that it is important. Okay.